Okay, everyone, let's bring this meeting back to order. Okay, we've reached item number six, multiple season big game permits. This is a rule action. Dave Ware, our game division manager, the wildlife program is here to guide us through this agenda item.
Madam Chair, Commissioners, again for the record, my name is Dave Ware. I'm the Game Division Manager for the Department of Fish and Wildlife. And we're here to talk about multi-season permits. We spoke about that or had a discussion about this last month. And so I am going to review several of the slides I did last month because I know that there has been some public discussion about these multi-season permits. And then I've added a few slides to kind of give us some examples to try to better address some of the concerns that we've heard. So what I'm going to go through is a permit application and sales, relative hunter support and comment. We'll again look at the permit success and comparisons. We're going to talk a little bit more about the crowding issue that we touched on last time, but there were still some concerns, and then I'll provide you with our recommendation. So just quickly, kind of the license sales history. A lot of folks have asked about this and talked about this, mostly in relationship to crowding and what we've done. So I put up 1985 deer and elk tag licenses, and then showing what we sold in 2010. And indeed, you see a continual decline, slow decline in the deer licenses that have been sold, but actually a pretty significant increase in elk licenses that have been sold. In terms of hunter crowding, the way that we addressed that back in the 80s was we went to a choose your weapon season so we could divide those hunters up. We didn't want all 156,000 deer hunters out there on opening weekend of modern firearm season. So we created quite a few opportunities across the state for archery muzzleloader hunters and have successfully divided up that crowding to a certain extent anyway. Still 122,000 people out opening day on the modern firearm season. Permit applications for the multi-season permits over time. You can see that when we started in 2006, we've jumped around a little bit. One of the things that tells us and what we've learned, especially with Bill Joplin as our licensing division manager, is that the more you market them, the more you let people know that they're available for purchase, the better off you are in terms of sales. And so we expect sales to continue similar to the last two years. Someplace between 8,000 and 9,000 people applying for the permits that are available. And in this last year, 2011, we sold 2,200 permits. 4,000 names were drawn. 2,200 of those decided to purchase the permit. For elk, we drew 800 names, and 680 chose to purchase those permits. And we've worked pretty hard over this time period to try to make these as attractive and easy for us to manage in terms of sales as possible. And so things have jumped around a little bit over time. In general, hunters have been very supportive. The idea of being able to spend more time in the field is pretty attractive for folks. And so, like I said, overall, they've been very supportive, especially since we've expanded and providing quite a bit of opportunity for the, in quotes, primitive weapons, archery and muzzleloader. Crowding issues have certainly declined, and so we think we can offer additional multi-season permits, at least or especially during the deer season. We've had plenty of time to evaluate the harvest impacts. We think they're manageable. Kinds of things that we've heard during this open comment period is that it's a great opportunity if people have time, although we also got comments that it's too expensive. As a reminder, we did not change the price on multi-season permits with this last fee increase that we just went through. Some criticism that it's just a way for the department to raise revenue and that it creates crowding in fact, but also some ideas on how to make it more attractive in the future, and then just general support for the expanded numbers that we're talking about today. So deer harvest success is one of the issues that has come up. Yes, multi-season permit holders are typically quite a bit more successful than general season hunters, but not as successful as permit hunters. You can see that in 2009, the differences between the different hunter types, permit hunters, of course, being the most successful, and with all the categories we have now, it was really hard to just come up with a standard percent, but obviously our quality permits, our buck permits, success rates are pretty high, but then some of the antlerless permits, success might be down around 30 to 40%, depending on the hunt. For elk, even more of discrepancy in terms of multi-season permit holders tend to be quite a bit more successful than general season hunters, but again, still not as successful as permit hunters. One of the questions has to do with crowding, and the thought was that some of the more popular units would end up with more of the hunters and more of the multi-season hunters. And as we see, they tend to spread themselves out pretty well across the state. I think that folks have their traditional hunting areas, and even when they apply for one of these multi-season deer or elk permits, they stick to those areas generally. And so you can see that with deer hunters, and these are some of the more popular units across the state. Numbers are about 1 to 2% or 2.5% at the highest there of the hunters in those units. Same with elk, actually a little lower because we offer fewer elk permits than deer permits. But again, pretty good distribution across the state and pretty low numbers. I wanted to throw this one in as an example. We've had some concerns. The Joaquin is a very popular archery unit, and it's got one of the few general late archery seasons on winter range. It's very popular, and so the concern was that maybe this season is actually exaggerating the crowding densities there, and so I'm going to walk you through a little bit of a specific example here. So this is the Joaquin unit in 2010, and the total number of hunters who report hunting there for Modern Firearm is 618. Like I said, it's a very popular archery unit, and so actually archery hunter numbers exceed Modern Firearm hunter numbers in this unit at 644, muzzleloader 29, and the number of multi-season permit holders that hunted this unit is 41. Harvest for the Modern Firearm hunters was about 87 bucks. 39 of those were 4-point or better. For archers, 67 bucks. 47 of those were 4-point or better, and they killed 4 does. The early part of that, the September part of that season, of their season, allows for antlerless. Muzzleloaders took 3 bucks. Out of the 29 hunters took 3 bucks, and 2 of those were 4-point or better. In multi-season, the 41 hunters took 10 bucks, 7 of those were 4-point or better, and 1 took a doe during that early archery season. So you see the success rates, Modern Firearm at the highest of the general hunters, but multi-season, in this case, about twice that from a success rate standpoint. When you look at days per kill, I think one of the comments that came from Commissioner Duvia last month was that the guys that buy these multi-season permits tend to be more successful than others regardless, and that's why they buy the multi-season permit holder. It only took them 20 days, which is quite a bit less than most of the other hunters to harvest their animal. So of those 41 multi-season permit holders that hunted the Joaquin, 17 of them hunted the Modern Firearm season, 32 of them, obviously some overlap, hunted the archery season, and 8 of them hunted the muzzleloader season. That represents about 2.8% of the Modern Firearm hunters out on a given day, 5% of the archers out, and 28% of the muzzleloaders. Remember, there's only 29 muzzleloader hunters in this unit. And so the season of kill, they took the Modern Firearm or the multi-season permit holders took $4 during the Modern Firearm season. They took $5 during the archery season and 1 doe, and they took $1 during the muzzleloader season. And so on the far right column there, in terms of crowding, one of the questions has to be, well, how many of them would have purchased an archery tag anyway and would have been out there? And so you see that 22 of the 41 hunters, the previous year had purchased a modern firearm license, 14 purchased an archery license, and one had purchased a muzzleloader license. So the bottom line, when you add up all of these numbers, is that out of the 644 archery hunters hunting that late unit, only 18 of them wouldn't have been there otherwise. So again, crowding doesn't seem to be very significant, not much of an issue. Harvest rates of multi-season hunters are manageable. This slide went wacky. And we will continue to monitor the results and manage the effort and recommend any changes as appropriate in the future. So our recommendation, again, is to increase the number of permits drawn to 8,500 for deer and 1,250 for elk. That should result in sales of about 4,600 deer permits and 1,000 elk permits. And we will continue to work with the governor's office and the legislature to authorize the expenditures of these new funds to expand our wildlife conflict positions and free up officers to enforce the Fish and Wildlife laws. So I take any questions.
Okay, thanks very much. Commissioner Duvia?
I was, were we going to restrict the money to the wildlife conflict program?
That was the concept we took into this legislative session, although the governor's office was not supportive of doing anything that put additional pressure on the wildlife fund at a time when we were in such dire straits with the economy and in particular the agency's budget.
So will this just be a one-time?
In the future, we're looking to, I mean, if this generates the kind of interest and funds that we anticipate, in the future we would look to see if we thought that it was appropriate to go back to the legislature and continue to pursue additional conflict specialists.
And lastly, I think it would be appropriate to have you talk about maybe our new vendor that can provide maybe in the future one of the choices that we'll have to make.
One of the things we've been talking about, and it did come up, my bullet just said that folks have made lots of suggestions for how we can improve it. And one of the things that folks have talked about, of course, is just selling them over the counter. But in addition to that, they've suggested that, okay, if you don't get drawn in the initial draw, but there's a bunch of tags left, how about at some date you would let everybody who wanted one to go purchase one if there were unsold tags left. So both a couple of ideas that we could and should look at in the future, as well as we've had, everybody knows how the challenges we've had with the current license vendor in making changes to some of our, some system changes, but we are in the process of looking for a new vendor and pretty excited about some of the prospects that have been talking to us, and a couple of them specifically focused on the ability to conduct raffles and then turn around and sell them over the counter. So this fits right in with what we might do here.
Okay. Other commissioners, questions? Commissioner Jennings.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What was the roughly speaking, the total number of comments received? I mean, you sort of talked about the themes you got, but I didn't really get a sense of how many, what the volume was associated with that.
We end up with two flurries of comments, one that comes in during the comment period and then one that comes in after the first meeting. And I'm going to guess that it was less than 50 comments. I don't have that tally, but I can get it to you.
Okay. Next is just a comment. I find it really helpful if you actually list the slide number when you give the PowerPoint so that
okay.
I can easily come back and say, could you go back to slide 12?
Sure.
Ask the questions. You had a slide talking about success rate and days to kill.
Mm-hmm.
The success rate is for that in sort of for the average hunter there. So if during the full season he has a 14% chance of being successful, and if you look back, it took him 24 days in the field, roughly plus or minus, to achieve that 14% success rate for the season. I mean, I'm just trying to understand that.
How success rates are derived.
Right. Because we were just talking about catch per unit effort for fisheries the other night, so it just sort of fits right into the overall concept of tracking effort.
And we do use that as well when we track success rates for
So that's the one I was, yes.
Hunting. There we go.
And if there was a slide number, I could have directed you to it easier.
A couple of different ways, whether, mostly based on whether it's a permit hunt or whether it's a general season hunt. And so with a general season hunt, it's the first question, or one of the first questions asked of reporting hunters is, did you hunt? If they hunted, then they're part of the denominator for.
So just deal with the modern firearm and just tell me what that means.
So 87 bucks were harvested by 618 hunters. That's a 14% success rate. Our statistician is here, by the way, in case I get this wrong.
Okay, so that's where that 14% came from.
Yes.
And then the 24.7 days.
That's the number of days that all 618 hunters reported that they hunted, divided by the number of animals taken. Or the other way around.
Okay, so it would be like 618. If the average hunter spent 3 days in the field, that would be times three divided by 87. Is that
something to that effect? Everybody follow the math?
Okay,
yeah.
Thanks.
Commissioner Caney?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just curious on that one. No, the chart that talked about that it wasn't overcrowding on the Swakane unit. Did you look at several of the other archery seasons that run late, and is the data similar? Is that really didn't cause an overcrowding? Because I got a couple calls from archery hunters that were kind of concerned about, I think it was the INIAT area.
Well, and that's this unit. That's
okay.
The Swakane.
But in all those units, would you say that those numbers are reasonably the same? It wasn't causing overcrowding?
I didn't look at a lot of units. What we had looked at previously was just, we looked at some of the more popular units and looked at the percentage of multi-season hunters that were participating in those units, and from that we could pretty much surmise that the densities were pretty low. The issue with Swakane was just because it was such a popular hunt and such a popular late hunt, I looked at that one specifically. I think it has to be pretty close to the highest density of late season archers in the state. And so if we were going to see something, you'd think we would see it there.
Right. That was what, like 644?
Yeah, 644
archers. And there was, what, 40 more added? Was that right?
Right.
Commissioner Jennings?
You talked, and I'm looking for clarification, a legislative directive on how to spend the money?
Yeah, we had an initiative going forward to the legislature that we go through the governor's office with those requests, and that would have increased the amount of money that we spend out of the wildlife fund for 3.5 positions, and then some extra funds to manage damage.
And what we're now saying is that the revenue generated from these will be what we'll use to pay for those positions?
Ultimately, if we get approval to go forward with that initiative. At this point, we don't have approval to go forward, and so these funds just go into the wildlife fund to strengthen the balance in the wildlife fund.
And thank you for that clarification, because to me, that's the preferred answer as opposed to being told how to spend it. I mean, I think as we go through our budget discussions, having the more generic, this goes to the wildlife fund as opposed to this has to be spent on these positions, allows us to make better decisions over time as we look at resource restrictions. So that was just a comment I wanted to make based on my understanding of what you're telling me.
Questions, comments? Okay, this is a rule action. So we're ready for a motion. Commissioner Duvia?
Madam Chair, I move to amend WAC 232-28-294 as proposed.
Do I hear a second?
I second.
The motion has been made and seconded to amend WAC 232-28-294 as proposed. Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say no.
No.
Motion carries. Thank you, Dave.
Yeah.